I just happen to like music a bit. You can tell I used to play, and I love to get into the worship and worship God. Because we're living in the light, and we got something to sing about. My mama always used to say, if they can go to the football and get excited of a bunch of grown men chasing a bag of wind, we can get excited about God. Amen? Amen. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 20. I got a few portions of scripture today. Exodus chapter 13 and verse 20. And then we're going to Exodus chapter 24. Then we're going to Numbers 9. And then we're going to 2 Chronicles. And then Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Exodus chapter 13. Verse 20 to 22. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them. Everyone say, the Lord went before them. He went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way. So the pillar of cloud was there, but it was the Lord leading them. And by night, a pillar of fire to give them light and to go by day and night. And he took it not away, the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from the people. God went before them in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, and he didn't take it away. He guided them. That's the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Exodus 24, verse 15 to 18, we see again the cloud. Moses went up to the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. So the glory of the Lord is represented by the cloud again. And the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses. God called out of unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. A cloud and fire again. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mountain. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Numbers chapter 9, verse 15 to 23. I'm just going to read right here. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up. They built the tabernacle. On that day, when they finished building it, the cloud, everyone say the cloud, covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even, there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire. And so there was a cloud on the tabernacle and fire. And so it was always there. It remained there. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, when the cloud lifted, then after the children of Israel journeyed, they moved. When the cloud lifted, they moved. And they end in a place where the cloud abode. So when the cloud lifted off the tabernacle, they said, it's time for us to move. And they moved to where the cloud was again. And the children of Israel pitched their tents there. And the commandment of the Lord... And at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. As long as the cloud was there, they stayed. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge and journeyed not. Let's go down to 21. And it was so, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. When the cloud lifted, they moved. They followed the cloud. Whether it was by day or night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it was 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, they remained thereon. The children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. When the cloud was there over the tabernacle, as long as it was there, they stayed. But when the cloud moved, they moved. We read here that over the tabernacle was like a cloud by day and a fire by night. We see the children of Israel coming out of Egypt into the wilderness, and they followed the cloud by day and the fire by night. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking God. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that even the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house. You see, the cloud filled the house, but they knew what the cloud meant. It meant the glory of the Lord, the presence of God. And I want to speak today, the cloud and the fire, a promise for every believer. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you are a covenant-keeping God. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, Lord, you're still bringing people out of Egypt, still delivering people from sin. And Lord God, you seek to lead and to guide us through the cloud and through the fire. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. The cloud and the fire, a promise for every believer. If you were to look historically at the Exodus, it's the book of Exodus simply means exit, come out of. They came out of Egypt. But to look at it historically, the Exodus is about the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt. But if you look at it doctrinally, the story or the account of the Exodus of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt is a type and a shadow of our redemption and our deliverance, our salvation. Everyone say salvation. And so Egypt in the Bible is a type of sin, because it was there that they were in bondage and in slavery, and they were outside of God's will for them. I guess they had got themselves in that trouble, but God wanted to deliver them out. And so this Exodus, when you read the book of Exodus, yes, it talks about their coming out of Egypt, but when we look at it from a spiritual point of view, it is talking about redemption and deliverance. And when we got saved, we also came out of Egypt. And so Exodus is about coming out, but it's not just about coming out, it's about going in to the promised land. Everyone say the promised land. And so the Exodus account, and you know I like to talk about types and shadows. The Exodus account is a type and a shadow of what Jesus would do for us in bringing us out of bondage and slavery of sin. They came out by the blood, the water, and the Spirit. We also come out of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ, through the water and through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's right there in the book of Exodus. And so just like Israel, they were headed to the promised land, we also are headed to the promised land as well. And if I was saying today that I'm living under a cloud, you might say, well, that's a very negative connotation. What's wrong, Pastor? You're living under a cloud. Because clouds in our day often speak of dark times, difficult times. Even somebody say, I'm living under a cloud, they might be talking about depression. However, in the scripture, the cloud was associated with the presence of God Almighty. The cloud was associated with the Spirit of God. And in the wilderness, we read it, the Israelites, they recognized that God was in the cloud. Because why? Exodus 19 verse 9 says that God spoke from the cloud. And God guided them with the cloud. In Exodus 16, verse 10, it says that God revealed his glory through the cloud. We see the cloud and the fire. And now, the cloud is not the only type or shadow of the Holy Spirit. We also have other types and shadows, like a dove, like a flame. Flames of fire sat upon them when they are filled with the Holy Spirit. We also have fire and water and oil, a seal. But we see in the Exodus account, we see the cloud. And we see the fire. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. It was with them. It was a visible manifestation of God's presence. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so from the minute that the children of Israel set their feet out of Egypt, God directed them and God guided them. Everyone say, God directed them. And everyone say, God guided them. Let me tell you, when you get saved, when you get born again, that's not the end of it. God wants to direct and God wants to guide you. He wants to give you strength. He wants to give you power. He's not just saying, well, now you're born into the kingdom. It's all up to you. No, he wants to guide you and he wants to direct you. And we see how God guided and directed Israel. Number one, he spoke to Moses. Okay, God spoke directly to Moses. And God continues to direct and guide us through the Word. If you want guidance and if you want direction, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You can find direction in the Word of God for your life today. You can find direction in the Word of God for whatever struggles, whatever circumstances, whatever you're going through, you can find direction in the Word of God. But the second way that God directed and guided the children of Israel is through the angel of the Lord. The Bible says the angel of the Lord always went before the children of Israel. And we see in the book of Revelation that the letters written to the churches, the seven churches in Revelation, are written to the angel of the church, which is the pastor or the leader of the church in that area. And so God speaks to us through his word. God can also speak to us through a man of God, through a pastor, as long as he's also preaching the word of God. And the third way, we saw it in our text, God can lead and guide us through the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And that is by the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Spirit of God. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, they were one and the same. They weren't different. They were visible manifestations of the presence of God. I'm thankful that God did not leave his people without direction. And I'm thankful that when I got saved, he didn't leave me without direction. That I can still stand on the Word of God and I can still be guided and led by the Holy Spirit in my life. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so the Israelites had escaped all of the things that were happening to them in Egypt, all that oppression, but they needed direction. They needed protection. They needed to know that God was with them. And God sent the cloud to guide them in the wilderness. And when they gathered, his cloud was there. When God spoke, he spoke out of the cloud. God spoke to Moses out of the cloud. The same cloud also filled the temple when they got together to worship. And it happens here as well, because God inhabits the praises of his people. When the people gather together and begin to praise God, the Bible says that in the temple, the cloud came in. Now, we might not have a physical cloud, but we can feel the Spirit of God beginning to move as we worship God. As you surrender your heart and you put aside the distractions, you can begin to feel something of God moving in this house. And so in the same way that the Holy Spirit guided the children of Israel in the wilderness, God's Spirit can guide you today. And that cloud and that fire that we read about in the Old Testament is also a promise to every believer. Look at this in John chapter 14 and verse 17. Not a cloud now, but the Bible speaks of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. Jesus saying, you know me, the Spirit of truth, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he's speaking of Pentecost, and shall be in you. Jesus was with his disciples, but at Pentecost, he was in his disciples. It is the will of God today, let me tell you, it is the will of God for every believer to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There was no such thing in the first church as Pentecostals and non-Pentecostals. There was only one church, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Every 120 of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so some people, you know, Mary's a very prominent character in a certain religion, and Peter's a very prominent character in a certain religion. Let me tell you, Both of those were in the day on were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost as well. And both Mary and Peter were filled with the Holy Ghost. And I love to tell my Catholic friends that. They say, you're a Pentecostal. I said, so was Peter and Mary. Really? They weren't Pentecostal. Oh, Catholic. No. They were there. They had the same Pentecostal experience. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Read it in your Bible. And so before Jesus ascended, he said, I want you to go, in Acts chapter 1, verse 2 to 5, he said, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait there, because I'm about to leave. I'm God in flesh. And I can turn water into wine. I can feed the 5,000. Jesus is doing miracles. And he's about to leave them. And he says, but I know you're human. So you're going to need to be endued with supernatural power. To be able to do what I've called you to do. To go into all the world and preach the gospel. And in fact, Jesus even said, he said, you're going to do more miracles than I did. And they would have been thinking, yeah, really? And now Jesus is getting ready to ascend, leave them. And he said, but go and wait in Jerusalem. He's in Acts 1 verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. He had spoken to the apostles, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. And during that time, as he was the risen Savior, walking on earth for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He was teaching and speaking about the kingdom of God. And being assembled together, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John verily, truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He said, go to Jerusalem, go have a prayer meeting, go and tarry. And you know what? They tarried 10 days and the Holy Spirit began to fill in that place and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 and 9, he tells them to go. He says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, in their human thinking, they're thinking there's no way that we could do this. But they were going to be enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, the local area. That's where they had the first prayer meeting. In Judea, in Samaria, and all through the earth. How? Through their own human strength? No. Through their own human genius? No. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And so in the Old Testament, there was a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. And they were types and shadows of the Holy Spirit that would be with the New Testament church as well. Because he said, you're going to be endued with power from on high. And they went there in the New Testament church. They were there in that upper room. And that same cloud and that same fire fell in that room on the day of Pentecost. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. We read it in Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In the Old Testament, the presence of God was manifest to them through the cloud and through the fire. And in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit was manifested to them through the infilling of the Holy Spirit as they were endued with power from on high. Somebody say amen. I'm thankful that while I live on this earth, that I don't have to rely on my own strength. I don't have to rely on what I can do, but I can be endured with power from on high. Let me tell you today, let me be very transparent. I'm very glad I don't have to come to this pulpit and just preach what I've got in my head, because there's not much in here right now, all right? But under the anointing and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, I don't know what you're going through, but God knows, and He can speak, and you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can have that same experience. I believe it. And don't look too close to me. You're going to find lots of things you don't like. I'm just a person like anyone else. You're just a person. But when we are endued with power from on high, God can use us in a mighty way. Somebody say amen. And so Paul makes the link between the Exodus and the New Testament church. Some people might think, well, that's a bit far-fetched, Pastor. You know, like the Exodus, and you're talking about the New Testament church. Well, Paul made the same link. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 4, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." And so he talks about being baptized in the cloud and being baptized in the sea. And we're like, you know what? I can understand being baptized in the sea, but how are you baptized in the cloud? And I had a good discussion with somebody recently, and it made me think. I thought, well, what about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's often a term we use. And so I looked up, well, we're not literally submerged or plunged under in the Holy Spirit. So I looked up the word baptizo in the Greek lexicon, and it also means to be overwhelmed. To be overwhelmed. And so that's why the terminology was used, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And that's why you can be baptized, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, means to be overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul makes the connection between the Exodus and the New Testament church. And he says, "And all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." He's speaking to the New Testament church, but he's talking about something that happened in the Old Testament. "And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them." So there was a spiritual rock following the children of Israel. And Paul says, that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. And so there were two baptisms for Israel. Everyone say two baptisms. A baptism by water, Paul said it, through the sea, and a baptism by spirit under the cloud. And just like then, Paul was saying, just like they had two baptisms, a baptism in water and a baptism in the cloud, that is for them and it's also for us. Israel, without water and spirit, they were still going to be lost in Egypt, they were going to be lost in the wilderness. For us, without baptism in water, baptism washes away my sins. I may not be in Egypt, but when I've got sin in my life that hasn't been washed away in the waters of baptism, I've got Egypt in me. And so when we are baptized, our sins are washed away. That is the baptism in water. But without the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Spirit, we have no power to live this life on earth. We have no power to overcome temptation. We have no power to speak an anointed word. It's just us in the wilderness, just us trudging through life. But when we are not just baptized in water, but when we are baptized in the cloud, we have a power inside of us. It teaches us to pray. It reveals truth to us. It guides me. It strengthens me by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you today, that promise of the Holy Spirit is to every believer. Acts 2:39 says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And so there were two baptisms for them coming out of Egypt, a baptism in water, in the water and in the cloud, and the same with us, in the water and in the cloud, the Holy Spirit. And listen to what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to him, and Jesus said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he climb back into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus verily said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And so just like Egypt needed to go through the water, that's when the Egyptians were wiped out when they went through the water. Then they got in the wilderness. They're like, well, what do we do now? And the Holy Spirit was there through the cloud to lead and guide them. The same with us. Jesus said to Nicodemus, except you be born of water and of spirit, you're not going to make it to the kingdom of God. You're not going to make it to the promised land. And without the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire in the wilderness, the children of Israel had no chance of getting through that wilderness. Let me tell you, that is a promise for every believer, that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm beginning to put some things out there for you to begin to think. I know many have already been filled with the Holy Spirit, but we need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd begin to seek the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that you would receive that power from on high. And that's exactly what Paul's attitude was, the same attitude. In Ephesians chapter 19, and you can turn there in your Bibles, and I think I've only got verse 2 on the screen. But Paul went to Ephesus, and he heard that there were some believers there. Acts chapter 19. What did I say? Ephesians. He went to the church at Ephesus, but it started, the book, the letter to the church at Ephesus started in Acts 19. There you go. Acts 19, verse 1. And so Paul hears, he goes, well, I heard there's some believers over at Ephesus. I don't know what those believers were doing, but they obviously were gathering together, probably reading the Bible, praying, doing all those sort of things. And Paul walks in on the meeting of believers, and the first thing he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the power of the Holy Spirit? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you received that promise yet? You're believers, but have you received it? He didn't say, have you received the Holy Ghost when you believed? He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You see, this promise of the cloud and the fire, this promise of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is for every believer. And it says in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 19, verse 2. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And then he said, well, then how have you been baptized? They said, well, we were baptized unto John's baptism, but we were told to believe on him which would follow, that is Jesus Christ. And so what did Paul do? He baptized them in the name of Jesus, and then he prayed for them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the fire and the cloud was just for the children of Israel in Old Testament, but it is also for us today. It is a promise for every believer. You see, have you received? Let me ask you the same question Paul asked the church at Ephesus. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? If the musicians could come. You see, a non-Pentecostal Christianity. Now, you got to remember, Pentecost has been called a denomination, but it's not a denomination. Pentecost is an experience. Everyone say an experience. A non-Pentecostal Christianity is like trying to imagine Canberra without electricity. It looks great, but there's no power. A Christianity without the Pentecostal experience, because we see at the birth of the first church, God poured out His Spirit. If we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, trying to live this life in our own strength, it's just not going to happen. And that's why God said, I want to endure you with power from on high. And some of us today are walking through wilderness experiences, and you're trying to find your way. You phone a friend and all those sort of things. But you know what? What you need is the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Bible says He will lead us into all truth. Let me read you some scriptures today. John 16, verse 8. And if you want this, you can text me or email me. I'll send it to you. John 16, verse 8. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Spirit guides us into all truth. John 16, 13. The Holy Spirit leads us. Romans 8, Galatians 5, Matthew 4, Luke 4. The Spirit sanctifies us, 2 Thessalonians 2. The Spirit empowers us, Luke 4, Luke 24, Romans 15, Acts 1, 8. The Spirit teaches us to pray. The Spirit produces fruit. The Spirit anoints us for ministry. The Spirit washes and renews us. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is a guarantee and a deposit for a future resurrection. It is a seal. The Holy Spirit seals us unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit sets us free from the law of sin and death. The Holy Spirit reveals the deep things. Everyone say the deep things. The Holy Spirit brings liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Holy Spirit transforms us into the image of Christ, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. The Spirit enables us to obey the truth, 1 Peter 1, 22. The Spirit comforts us, Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. And Jesus said to Zerubbabel, the Lord said to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Zerubbabel says, how? How am I going to do this? I got no strength. I'm not smart enough. I don't know what to do. And he says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Let me tell you today, the fire and the cloud is a promise for every believer. You can experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You can experience the guidance and the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. You can experience the strength of the Holy Spirit in your life today. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. You see, the reality is the same Jesus who came in power to that upper room. He said, I am with you, but I'm going to be in you. That same Jesus has not left us to our own devices in 2023. He's still alive. He's still pouring out his Spirit. You believe that today? The fire in the cloud is a promise for every believer. And we need to be endued with power from on high. Oh, you say, well, I've heard of this Holy Spirit thing. It's just for certain people, special, super spiritual people. Well, I'm glad Jesus settled that. When he said, again, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and everyone that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? And if he asks for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? Jesus said, he said all of that to say this, if you then being evil, he's talking to us humans, if you then being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. Everybody say ask. So the Holy Spirit is not for the super spiritual, not the people that have been in church 30 years, 40 years, whatever you want to say. The Holy Spirit is for everybody that asks. It's as simple as this. Ask and you shall receive. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in the Old Testament, the type and shadow was the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. But when they were in that upper room, that pillar of cloud and fire was still there. It was the Spirit of God empowering. And so if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to come stand at this altar. We'd love to pray with you today. Begin to seek, begin to ask. But here's a challenge. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Anybody thankful for the mercy of God? How many people are thankful this week for God's mercy on your life? Yeah. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, and we're not good people, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't profess to be a theologian or a rocket scientist, but if there is a renewing in the Holy Ghost, that tells me that you can have it and you need to be renewed again. And some of us here today need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but some of us need to be renewed in the Spirit. And so we're going to seek God today. We're going to reach out because the Bible says that we are saved by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You got to receive it before you can be renewed. And some of us have received it and we need to be renewed. And there are a lot of people still in church today celebrating something that happened 50 years ago, but they haven't been renewed. That's why the Bible says, do not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That word, be filled with the Spirit, means to be being filled, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. So right now, let's just lift our hands all across this place, because I believe God wants to touch us right now. We were never meant to live this Christian life without the power of God residing in us. Jesus said, I am with you, but in a matter of days, I'm going to be in you. Hallelujah. Come on, church, let's just begin to just seek God and just reach out to Him right now. Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray somebody in this house will be filled with your Holy Spirit. Lord God, I pray right now, Lord, let the cloud, let the fire, let your Spirit be in this house today. Lord, let there be a renewing in the Spirit. Hallelujah. I encourage you right now, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, begin to pray in that heavenly language. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Be renewed in the Spirit. Drink again of the rivers of living water. This altar is open. If you want to come and stand here, we want to come and pray with you right now. Let the renewing of the Holy Spirit move in this house. Oh, it's not what I can preach. It's not anything I can do. But if the Spirit of God would do something, it'll be a lasting thing. Oh, yes. Hallelujah.